Avoiding Earth Visit Part 2, The Parallel Non-Monetary Economy. So the fifth industrial eco-revolution, radicalising incentives. One day I watched a woman carrying a cute cockapoo pup like a treasured designer purse. When she placed the dog down on all fours, it looked up at her confused and any hint of movement expected to be picked up. So she gave it a treat, a bonus, if you like. And all it did was turn in circles and yap to get more treats, more bonuses off her. She pulled the lead for it to walk with her, and it wouldn't budge, it just sat there, sat stock still, as if to say, you expect me to walk when you've been carrying me all this time? People have fostered this pathology upon themselves, carrying governments and bankers for eons with their hard-earned cash, regarding them as providers, not wanting to bite the hand that feeds, rather than the beast that knows no different than to gorge and waste and take and take and take, without being obligated, and because it knows it can get away with it. But it is dependent not only upon financial speculation, but also upon the hit and miss, pick and mix predictions of stock market traders, consulting their various soothsayers.
This is why Wall Street trading houses are buying the services of experts in chaos theory, fuzzy logic, genetic algorithms, neural networks, data visualization, fractal theory, and even movement of the stars. Fibonacci sequences, where each number is the sum of the previous two, is said to appear in market behaviour, just as they do in snail shell spirals, daisy petals or galaxies. Experts are studying, like French physicist Jean-Philippe Bouchard, the movements of detergent molecules. The mutual fund giants, Merrill Lynch, Vanderbilt and Morgan, regularly consult clairvoyants. The US company Astro Analyst recently claimed it had an arrangement with an international bank in London. Former maths professor Rebecca Nolan publishes detailed predictions in Financial Astrology. A Japanese securities house saying that 70% of her foreign exchange predictions come true.
They also rely on expert analyses of the turbulent political and commercial infractions that impact on every corner of terra firma human beings can urinate on.
Also familiar are the effects of large-scale violence undertaken to ensure the welfare of the world capitalist system. A recent Jesuit conference in San Salvador pointed out that over time, the culture of terror domesticates the expectations of the majority. People may no longer even think about alternatives different from those of the powerful, who describe the outcome as a grand victory for freedom and democracy.
The uprisings we've seen comprise of cross-party and non-political concerned adults have hit the majority of countries. Some populism movements successfully replaced their political status quo in a few short years, notably in Mexico, Iceland, Portugal, Spain and Italy. Yet they attract derisive and violent opposition, physically or through media propaganda, and rarely retain their ideologies when they wake in the morning to the same financial issues and system. Some later succumb to similar political tactics to their predecessors, or return power to them. Though this caused their downfall, they provide successful models for mobilisation. That's an important thing, because people don't see the effect of these movements changing anything. But actually, the changes were massive. They just didn't resolve the overwhelming issue, which is the monetary economy. Such movements followed mass student demonstrations, and now in 2019 our children are forced out on the street to tell the present self-indulgent adult generation, as Greta Thunberg did, to stop jeopardising their futures. It takes a mere child to tell emperors their new suits are altogether a collective embarrassment and not a funny one. If the woman at the outset had simply left her dog behind, it would be better for both of them. So far, this 21st century, aside from some technical advancements, has produced hardly anything that isn't retrograde in social cohesion, education, politics, economic policy, health, carnal conflict and criminal expediency. Some would assert that going backwards is what we drastically need to redress climate change. Stop flying, stop using diesel for shipping and haulage. Even a pre-industrial age might afford us a better future than a new ice age. Forecasts surrounding the fourth industrial revolution are less speculative than predictions of a post-capitalism, post-mercantilism or post-neoliberalism. But many wonder if it's merely the same fantasising that promised us the personal jetpacks, flying cars and monorails in the 1960s. Our parcel purchases delivered on flocks of drones. All these posts seem to amount to people erecting fences to sit on. Unification and solidarity are as utopian as the idea of replacing capitalism. In this protectionist, panic-obsessed age where anything is up for grabs and doesn't require any moral imperative, minorities pitch against countless other minorities with an equal chance of success, while diluting collective interest.
The concept of cycles undermined the linear notion of building a party organisation that would grow and grow until it eventually overthrew capitalism. What they came to recognise was that struggles might grow and become more effective as workers succeeded in throwing capital into crisis. But again and again, capital would find a way to decompose those methods of struggle and restore the balance of class power. The contradiction between the way capital organises society and the way this strategy undermines its ability to impose that organisation has not merely been theoretical, but has become manifest at several different moments in the history of capitalism. As ruptures expand and catalyse others, the crisis facing capitalism spreads and deepens, increasing the possibility of complete rupture, of the revolutionary overthrow and transcendence of the system as a whole.
So capitalists undermining their own control is certainly of interest to us, but there is scope for an intermediary process.
Getting rid of money and markets entirely is not only a necessary condition for getting rid of capitalism, but also desirable in its own right. I think that many utopians have been right to imagine worlds without money. I reject all programmes that propose to transcend capitalism, but retain money and markets as supposedly efficient methods of allocating resources in a new and better society, whether they be of socialist or anarchist or libertarian inspiration. Understanding the constraints that capitalism puts on our lives clarifies what we do not want and therefore what we want to get rid of. Every proposal I have seen for some kind of market socialism would retain those constraints. It is way past time we transcend them once and for all.
So it sounds a reasonable analysis, but does this situation need to be so intransigently polemic? Although Cleaver proposes drastic change empowering workers, the struggle he describes to rupture the dialectic dictating employment could ebb and flow for more decades to come, decades that we don't have. But there are lateral ways to skin a fat cat.